The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why did Jesus sometimes speak in parables? Why was truth sometimes hidden in a parable? How should we interpret parables? Just some of the things we'll be thinking about in the next few moments here on Grace in Focus. We thank you for joining us. This is the podcast and broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Well, let's get into our discussion today about the purpose of parables. Here are Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin.
All right, I'm here again with Steve Elkins. And what are we talking about this show?
Well, we're talking about parables still. We're just now getting to parables. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, how most of the parables are, in fact, about the kingdom of God or things related to it.
Right.
So maybe to kick things off today, what are the purpose of parables? I think we have a loose idea. Maybe we need to revisit what a parable even is. But why did Jesus speak in parables, Bob?
A lot of people don't understand why he spoke in parables, and they shy away from even reading the parables, right?
Absolutely.
And in fact, a lot of preachers shy away from preaching the parables, although at our church, at Capel Bible Fellowship, we recently went through a series on parables that I thought was very encouraging, and the people came away very encouraged. Parables are wonderful truths.
Yeah.
They're just difficult. You've got to work at it to get the truth out.
No doubt about it. The word parable, parabole, comes from alongside and something thrown, balo, to throw. So if you think of it that way, literally it would be, in a sense, an analogy, like an illustration. So Jesus has given an illustration, but he hadn't told you what the illustration is of necessarily, other than it's about the kingdom maybe. But then you've got to put on your thinking cap, and more than just your thinking cap, we're going to see in just a second. Something even more important than that.
Yes.
But let's talk about, why did he speak in parables? In Matthew 13, beginning at verse 10, the disciples ask him that question. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." We talked about the mystery kingdom a few times back. This is where some of the old dispensationalists had that idea, that especially in Matthew 13, after the king has been rejected by the nation in Matthew 12, that this is a mystery form of the kingdom here and now. Two saints seemed to reject that. He believed there was only one future literal kingdom,
right,
and these parables are in relation to that future literal kingdom.
Exactly.
Okay, so it says, because, Jesus says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he shall have an abundance, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. By the way, that's kind of an axiom in this life and the life to come.
It is, yes.
You know, even in the parable of the talents and minas, or the parable of the vineyard workers especially, you know, take from him who has.
That's also in the parable of the four soils. You've got, after the parable of the four soils in Luke, he talks about this, the one who has, even more will be given.
That's right. In fact, if we could skip ahead, since we're talking about what a parable is, in Matthew 13:35, it says, Jesus spoke in parables that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, quote, "I will open my mouth," capital M, Jesus the Messiah, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." So one thing about parables, though they're an analogy and an earthly story with a heavenly meaning and that kind of thing, they would fulfill what Proverbs calls a dark saying. They're an enigma. They're something you've got to really think on to figure out.
You know, by the way, I maybe pick up for a second on mysteries of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom is found in the Old Testament. For example, in the book of Daniel, we know there are four earthly kingdoms followed by the fifth eternal kingdom cut from without hands from this great stone.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the Son of Man who's coming up to the Ancient of Days, and the Son of Man's going to rule. So you have all that.
And you even there also have a couple times repeated, and the day comes for the saints, the holy ones, to possess the kingdom, to inherit the kingdom, even in Daniel 7.
Yes, and in Daniel 12, he has something about rewards and shining, which also Jesus picks up on that in one of his parables. But the mysteries of the kingdom doesn't mean something that hasn't been revealed.
Right.
It means something which you can't understand without further revelation.
Mm-hmm.
When we speak of the mysteries of the kingdom, there are many things about the kingdom that were not clear in the Old Testament that are made clear in the New Testament.
Right. And speaking of further revelation, how about when you've got Jesus right there in your presence who's told you the parable? Maybe you're not a believer yet. You don't know him. You're checking things out. Wouldn't you think, I don't know what he's talking about. Jesus, would you explain this to me? Wouldn't that make sense to do that?
Yes, and the disciples do that sometimes.
The disciples do that, and yet the unbelievers so often, they don't. And so again, at the end of Matthew 13, in verse 36, it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away. So there's a multitude listening, and no doubt many of them are not getting. They've heard it, and they'll have to reflect on it, but they're probably not getting it yet. And the disciples came to him saying, now Jesus has just told the parable of the wheat and tares. And what did they say? Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And you know what? He gives them a very crisp, clear explanation.
And by the way, this points out something about the parables. Some of the parables, a small percentage, are interpreted by Jesus.
Right.
But most of them are left uninterpreted.
Yeah.
We have to really focus on the ones that he interprets to help us understand the rest, because he's giving sort of signposts on how to interpret parables when he does this.
Absolutely. Lord willing, I'm trying to write, I haven't been at it in a while, but a commentary on Proverbs.
Ah.
I think a lot of people miss the purpose of Proverbs. I think the big purpose of Proverbs is to teach us how to interpret, and that's in the very first verses, 1 through 11, chapter
yes.
1. And, of course, the fear of the Lord is so important. But think about this. Bob, if there were an ABC or ABCs when it comes to interpretation, there's no doubt, and I know Zane Hodges believed this, that A would be acknowledging to God my need for his help in understanding what he's talking about.
Zane Hodges taught us in his Greek courses, one of the first steps we should have in order to exegete the scriptures, in order to draw the meaning out, is to pray about it.
Yep.
Ask God, show me what the text says.
Yep.
And he also wanted us to meditate on the text.
Right.
Keep reading the text and thinking about it, reading it and thinking about it.
You know, Zane, I think I've said this before on the program, but the New Testament exegetical method, as they called it back in that day, was designed essentially by Zane. So we were doing his exegetical method where you know, look at the structural markers, you diagram the sentence and so forth. You do all that academic work. Bob, I loved my seminary training and I loved all my teachers.
Right.
And I think these were godly men. But the ones that I had in the New Testament department, they never mentioned, that I remember, the role of prayer or the Holy Spirit in interpreting scriptures. And yet when I started taking Zane for the electives in Greek,
right,
he emphasized it over and over as, and actually as the very main essential thing of interpreting, prayer and the role of depending on the Holy Spirit to help us.
That's a great point. Now, Steve, here's a question that I have and a lot of people have, and you started the top of the show with this. Clearly, the parables have hidden truths in there, right? The parables hide the truth from people who aren't really seeking, who aren't really crying out to God. Why would Jesus do that? Why didn't he just give straight up teaching where he clearly said what he meant without any kind of hidden agenda in what he's doing? Does he tell us that?
I think he does, just a little bit further. In Matthew 13, we were looking at 10 and 11. Let's look at 13 and following. Therefore, says Jesus, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. He's going to explain why that is. And in them, says Jesus, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Think of the people that are literally there that day listening to Jesus' words. They're hearing it, they're seeing it, but they're not getting it. He goes on, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing. Now listen to this. And their eyes they have closed. You know, there's an old saying, there are none so blind as those who will not see. Their eyes they have closed. There's a willfulness in this. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Now, this is in particular about Jewish unbelievers in context. But I remember years ago having a group of college kids on my summer staff, really sharp ones at Frontier Ranch in Colorado.
When you were on staff with Young Life.
Yes. And there was one who ended up later going on Young Life staff. He's probably still on staff as far as I know. But we were talking about the free grace message. It's available to everybody and so forth. But this fellow had a question. In fact, in particular, I was talking about whoever seeks the Lord, they'll find him. The Lord will bring them the gospel. If anyone's willing to do his will, he shall know the teaching, whether I speak from God or speak for myself, etc. And this fellow raised his hand and said, but Steve, How about the Muslim people that we see on their knees three times a day praying toward Mecca, and they seem to be sincerely seeking God, and they're not believing the gospel, or they're not. And so I quoted him this verse from memory that says, in this case, it's true that their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes, they have closed. They're closed to it. They're seeking Allah, no doubt. They're sincere in that faith, but they're not sincerely trying to be open to the God we know exists.
Except for a small remnant within Islam that does come to faith in Christ.
And the exact same thing's true in this day with the Jews. There's a small remnant, and Paul talks
exactly
about that in Romans 10 through 11. He's one of them. So are the disciples, Anna and Simeon, and so many other Palestinian Jews who did come to faith.
And that's true in Christianity, too. It's not everybody in Christianity who believes in Jesus for the free gift of eternal life. Most people within Christianity believe in working their way to heaven. Maybe initial salvation, they would say, is by faith, but final salvation is by perseverance and good works. Well, hello, salvation is final the moment we believe.
Yeah, and to come back to your question, why would he speak parables knowing that they're not going to understand?
Yeah, why?
Here's my answer based on this passage. One, if people have a hardened heart or presuppositions that are not going to allow them, willful presuppositions, not going to allow them to understand what Jesus is saying, if Jesus tells them flat out what he's saying, they're going to be open to more judgment at the judgment. They're going to be open to more strict, severe penalties because they were given more, and God's being gracious to them to not answer everything. If they would just seek a little bit, if they would say, what are you talking about? And maybe have a little bit of openness, then Jesus would give them more.
Matthew 7, 7 through 11, we're to ask, seek, knock. And we should ask, because if we ask, we receive.
Right.
If we seek, we find. If we knock, the door is open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true for unbelievers. It's also true for believers.
It absolutely is, no question.
And so the purpose of the parables was to keep truth from those who were hard of heart, but to give truth to those who were open.
I've known, and you have too, seminary professors who I don't think were nearly as sharp on the parables as those professors who were godly, reverent, prayerful. I don't mean to judge, but I think that's the big difference of what makes an excellent exegete and interpreter compared to not so good.
Well, that's true in all aspects of the Christian life, isn't it?
Yep. Psalm 25 says, the secret things of the Lord belong to those who fear him.
Amen. Well, thank you, Steve. And thanks to each of you. And keep grace
in
focus.
Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, we ask the question, are you wheat or are you tares? That's next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.